So, I said Happy Easter because it's a recurrent theme in the book of... I'm always the one that doesn't get the recording right. Okay, so I said Happy Easter because it's a recurrent theme in the book of Acts, and it's something that we would be remiss if we didn't talk about at least once during our study. So, a few weeks ago when it was Easter, there was this little boy out shopping with his mom. And they were out and they ran into their pastor in the store. So the pastor says, hey, what are you doing? He goes, we're out buying Easter candy. And the pastor says, this isn't working.
You're taking me.
So the pastor says, hold on, could we just start completely over here? Good morning, Happy Easter, no, just kidding. Alright, so there's this little boy in Walmart or whatever, and he runs into his pastor, he's out shopping for Easter candy with his mom, and the pastor says, and do you know what Easter's all about? And he says, well, yes, it's when Jesus came into Jerusalem on his donkey, and he's sitting there, and they're waving the palm branches, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the pastor says, very good. And then what happened? And he said, well, then they all got mad at Jesus, and they yelled at him, and they beat him, and they put him on a cross, and he died. And the pastor's like, very good. And he's thinking, we do a good job at our Sunday school program. And the pastor says, and then what happened? He says, well, they laid Jesus in a tomb and they rolled a big stone in front of him. And there he was. And the pastor says, yes, is that where the story ends? And the little boy says, no. Then 3 days later on Easter morning, the stone rolled away. Jesus came out of the tomb. And he saw his shadow, and there were 6 more weeks of winter.
Oh, no. That was bad.
So, like little Johnny, I think a lot of us don't completely understand the importance of the resurrection. I think sometimes we get confused about why it's important. And I think many of us have kind of an indifferent attitude about it, even. I personally didn't understand the importance of the relevance of the resurrection until we studied the book of Acts. And I don't think Paul would have agreed with my treatment of the resurrection, and I don't think that I'm alone. I took a little poll of my friends and family, and they said that they did not think about the resurrection except during Lent and Easter. But both Peter and Paul thought it was very significant and life-changing. We have sermon after sermon from Peter and Paul, which focuses on the resurrection of Jesus. And so here we are again in Acts 24 through 26. We have Paul on trial before the Roman authorities. He's talking to Felix and Festus and King Agrippa. And he says the charges against him essentially boil down to the resurrection. The fact that Paul believes in the resurrection of the dead, and specifically, he believes in Jesus' resurrection. So according to Andy Stanley, author of the Starting Point series, which many of us have done, the message of Peter and Paul boils down to this message. You killed him. God raised him. We've seen him. Now say you're sorry. Theologian and pastor Tim Keller likewise points to the absolute centrality of the resurrection in all aspects of our faith. In his book, Reason for God, Keller says, if Jesus arose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. And if he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about anything that he said? The issue on which everything else hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. Now, granted, most of us believe in the resurrection. But in keeping with what we've been talking about this year and the idea of sharing our faith, I ask you, how would you explain it to a friend? Before I talk about the why of the resurrection, I just want to touch briefly on how you might explain it to a friend. A few conversation pointers, if you will. And actually, while I was working on this lecture the other day, I got a chance to explain it to my sister's roommate. So I didn't get to talk to my sister that we talked about before, but I did get to talk to her roommate. So, the evidence for the resurrection. First, Christ predicted his own resurrection. There are numerous verses in the Bible that talk about him telling his disciples that he was going to die and be raised up on the third day. Even though his followers didn't understand what he was telling them, after he died, they remembered his words. Second, Jesus made numerous appearances to his followers after the resurrection. He comforted the mourners on Easter morning. He appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus and explained to them all about himself throughout the Old Testament. He ate with them. He allowed them to touch his wounds from the cross. And then scripture records that Jesus was seen by more than 500 people at one time. Now, there are people who would say that this was some sort of deception, but how could you get 500 people to all agree on one deception? And third, and to me the most important thing, is the faith of the disciples convinces me of the resurrection. Those same disciples who were so afraid that they fled when Jesus was on the cross, they were afraid to be near him. And then in the end, they risked everything for him. Remember, 11 of the 12 original disciples were martyred for their faith. What could have given these cowardly men that kind of courage if it wasn't for the resurrection of Christ? There is no good reason that these men would have re-engaged unless something really big happened. We can think back to Peter. He denied Christ three different times, and he fled when Jesus was on the cross. So how do we go from that Peter to the Peter who was so outspoken in the book of Acts? He had spoken to the risen Lord. He's been doing that all morning. And then, as Andy Stanley points out, what would it take for you to believe that your brother was the Son of God, right? It would take something like the resurrection for you to believe. And that's what it took for James, the brother of Jesus. And then there's Paul. He knew Jesus was alive because Jesus appeared to him after his ascension. Paul spoke with those who had been with Jesus, who had seen him as the risen Lord. The thing that changed everything for Christ's followers was the fact that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. So this is why I and millions of other people around the world have decided to follow Jesus in the last 2,000 years. It's because the resurrection of Jesus actually happened. So why is it important? We know that it happened, but why is it so important? I'm going to be jumping around in the Bible, but if you want to follow along, I recommend you open to 1 Corinthians 15. It's a letter written by the same Paul that we've been talking about. And he's talking about the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of dead in this chapter. So first, the resurrection is important because it demonstrates the power of God. The resurrection is what sets Christianity apart. No other religious leader has broken the power of death and conquered sin. Dying on the cross did not prove that Jesus was the Son of God, but rising from the dead did. Anyone can die, but only God can rise. So this is where God demonstrated his power. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 15, 54 and 55. It says, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Or in the Message, it ends with, "O death, who's afraid of you now?" The resurrection revealed Christ's power over death. The Bible records Christ rose from the dead and will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. That's Romans 6:9. So from the moment, if somebody shuts that shade, then he can't see himself. From the moment of the original sin in the Garden of Eden until the day of Christ's death on the cross, Satan has been trying to overthrow God's plan. When Christ died, Satan must have thought that he had won the battle. But this was a very serious miscalculation. When Jesus arose, the power of sin and death was forever shattered. Because of the resurrection, Christians don't need to fear Satan or death again. So in the resurrection, we see God's power in two different ways. We see his power, which raised Christ from the dead, and second, we see God's power at work within us. We see this in 1 Peter 1:3. It says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The new life, the new birth, the being born again is empowered by the resurrection. By rising from the dead, Jesus earned us a new life in Christ. We don't get all of our resurrection life now. We are not made completely new before our resurrection with him, but he has earned us a new kind of life. And our goal in this life should be what Paul says in Philippians 3, that I may know Christ and know the power of his resurrection. So Paul continually connects the resurrection of Christ with the spiritual power at work in us. We see it in Ephesians 1:19-20, that you would know the incomparable power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. So think about that. We have the same power that was exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. We live impotent lives in our own strength, and yet we have available to us the same power that was used to raise Jesus from the dead. That same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead is at work in us. So this is why Romans 6:11 says, we must consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. This is why we are a new creation. This resurrection power helps us to gain victory over the sins in our lives. This power is why lives are changed. So what's the application of this? We can stop being enslaved to sin. Romans 6:13 says, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. So how do we stop sinning? We offer ourselves to God. We recognize that we were bought with a price. We should embrace our new life. We turn to him for the power to overcome. So the Christian life is not us trying to follow God's rules and regulations on our own, but rather it's our being transformed by the power of the living Christ who lives in us. So you may know that I'm a therapist, a licensed professional counselor, and one of the types of therapy I use is called CBT. And the idea behind that is that if you can change the way you think, you can change the way you feel and you act. Well, I feel like this is kind of the same thing, right? If we can begin to see ourselves as God's children, if we can begin to see ourselves in his power, then we can stop sinning. We won't, of course, completely stop sinning, but we will never be perfect. But we can stop being enslaved to sin. Most of us are aware of the power of sin in our lives, but this resurrection power breaks the power of sin. So last Tuesday, I drove some of the Thailand team to the airport, and as I was pulling in, you know, in the bright morning sun, watching those huge jumbo jets take off, I always think is such an amazing sight. And I was thinking about, like, how does that huge piece of machinery take off, right? Is it because the law of gravity has disappeared? Is it, you know, has it disappeared when they're taking off? No, it's because there is a stronger force during the takeoff, and it's the law of aerodynamics. And so we can experience the same kind of thing. The power of sin is always there, but the power of God is greater than that. We can overcome because of the resurrection. We can soar with him in victory over our sins because of the resurrection. The resurrection power also gives us power for ministry in the work of his kingdom. Right before the risen Lord ascends to sit at the right hand of God, remember what he tells us in Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses. We have his power to do his work. So the resurrection demonstrates the power of God. And the second point is, The resurrection is important because it demonstrates that our sins are gone. Their debt to God has been paid in full. They are no longer held against us. We are forgiven. So how is the resurrection connected to forgiveness? Isn't it the death of Jesus that takes away our sins? Yes, it is. But the connection with the resurrection is very important. Romans 4:25 puts it like this. He was handed over to death on account of our sin, and he was raised on account of our justification. And remember that justification means that we are not only declared not guilty with God, but we are also declared righteous. When God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. So Tim Keller explains it like this. He says a criminal goes to jail and pays his time, his debt to society, right? So society no longer has a claim on him. And at the end of his time in jail, he walks out free. Well, that's like what Jesus did. He paid the penalty for our sins. He went and stood the test of that infinite sentence that was against him on our behalf. And on Easter morning, God showed that he had satisfied it fully because Jesus walked out free. The resurrection was God's way of sort of stamping paid in full right across history on our behalf. The purpose of trusting in Christ is for forgiveness of sins, because it's from sin that we need to be saved. The resurrection proved Christ's power to forgive sin. In 1 Corinthians 15:17, it says, if Christ had not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. If Christ wasn't raised, his death was in vain, and your faith in him is pointless, and your sins are still going to be counted against you. By rising from the dead, Jesus proved his authority and power to break the bonds of sin. In this, he assures forgiveness and eternal life to all who accept the gift of salvation. So in the resurrection, we see God's acceptance and approval of Jesus' payment. God's declaration of approval of Christ is also his declaration of approval of us. When we trust in Christ, we are no longer guilty of our sins before God. We don't have to work to seek God's approval. We are completely loved and accepted by him. If we had to work to gain God's favor, then Christ died and rose for nothing. Because of what Jesus did on the cross and because of the resurrection, we know that we are in good standing with God. Now, granted, to some of us, this might be a bigger gift than to others, but we are all sinners and we all need God's forgiveness of our sins. We need the record of our sins to be erased. And not only are we declared not guilty, but we are declared to be children of God. All right, and then my point about why the resurrection is important is that the resurrection proves that God has the power to raise us from the dead. It guarantees that those who believe in Christ will not remain dead, but will be resurrected to eternal life. His resurrection is the pledge that ours will follow. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then sin won the victory over him and continues to be victorious over you too. If Jesus remained in the grave, then when you die, you would stay dead. Furthermore, since the wages of sin is death, you would remain dead in death, and eternal punishment would be your future. Paul describes Jesus' resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15:20. It says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So Richard Gaffin, in his Resurrection and Redemption, explains this. He says, Paul is saying here, the resurrection of Christ and of believers cannot be separated. Why? Because to extend the metaphor as Paul surely intends, Christ's resurrection is the first fruits of the resurrection harvest that includes the resurrection of believers. He is the beginning of the harvest. And this thought is reinforced in 1 Corinthians 15:23. It says, each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, and then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. So first fruits is an agricultural metaphor that also points to the initial quality of the harvest. Just as the first fruits or the first taste of the ripening crop shows what the rest of the harvest will be like for the crop, so Christ as the first fruits shows what our resurrected bodies will be like when in God's final harvest he raises us from the dead and brings us into his presence. So I see three applications of this. First, that we will rise again with Christ. We must keep eternity in mind when we live our life. At the IF conference, Jen Hatmaker said, there's this great resurrection thing, but you have to go through this dying part in order to get there. The application of this is for us not to lose sight of the future resurrection and glory when we are in the midst of our struggles here. I have only really experienced this once in my life where I just really longed for the resurrection. I heard some information that was so hard for me. I just prayed that God would take me home. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't in a suicidal kind of way. It was just in a, there has to be more. Just take me away. R.C. Sproul, past Bible teacher, says, we are called to cultivate an attitude where we feel torn between staying here and serving God and longing for our final reward with him. We are to long to go home, to return to that country wherein we have our citizenship. Sproul challenges, if we don't have that longing, I fear we might just be a little too much at home in this world that we're just passing through. Another important application of this of the resurrection is that if we keep eternity in mind, we will want to work to further God's kingdom. We will want to work to bring others to the Lord because we will be raised on that day that Christ returns. We will want to work to bring others along with us. And then the third application I see is that the resurrection gives us hope. As we watch loved ones deteriorate in their earthly bodies, as we watch the process of aging and death, we can have hope that one day we will be made whole. So after my young niece died of cystic fibrosis, we had hope that her crippled and blind body that was never able to walk or see was going to be made whole in the resurrection. And I remember that her mom posted this picture. It was a picture of a statue, and it was a wheelchair. The child standing on top of it with her hand lifted up like she was going to heaven. I thought it was such a beautiful picture of like the resurrected body. So in summary, I want to reiterate that the resurrection should matter to us every day. First, it demonstrates God's power. Second, it demonstrates that God accepted Jesus' payment on our behalf. Our sins are gone. And third, it demonstrates that like Christ, we too will be resurrected from the dead and spend eternity with him. So if you are still dating the church and not sure you want commitment, I encourage you to receive Jesus Christ, the living Lord. He has the only power that can deal with your sins, your guilt, your failures. Only the power of the resurrection can handle that. And when you trust in the living Lord Jesus, the power of the risen Christ will wipe out all your sins and it will give you hope. So I hope you will really take the time to think about this fact. I think of the basic way we try to share Jesus with others, right? We tell them that they're sinners. We tell them that Jesus died for them on the cross to pay for our sins. We tell them the wages of sin is death. We tell them to ask Jesus into their heart. But I think many of us stop there. It is in the resurrection that Jesus became victorious. In the resurrection, the payment of our debt was accepted and paid in full. In the resurrection, he lives so that we can be in relationship with him. This is the truth that we should be sharing. We are not called to prove the resurrection, but we are called to proclaim it. We can't stop the story before we get to the resurrection. It's not just for Easter anymore. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for this morning and this study on Acts. Lord, we've learned so much about you. And I pray this morning that we would have rich conversations in our groups, that we would learn from each other and love each other well. And Lord, I pray that we would begin to really let the power of the resurrection impact our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.